The Headache and Migraine News Podcast. The latest news and tips for those with headaches, migraine, and cluster headache around the world with health writer and researcher James Cottrell.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. I know it's been a long time since I've done a podcast, but I am here today for a specific reason, and that is because this post at the Headache and Migraine News blog is post number 1,000. Yes, we now have 1,000 posts. For some of you, that might seem like a lot. For others, you wish I was doing more. But I'd say for someone with chronic illness, we're not doing too bad. Today, I'm going to do something a little different. In the past, we've done some podcasts on certain topics. So we've gone in depth on something like sleep apnea and talked about different things related to sleep apnea. Today, I'm going to talk about a few different things. Specifically, some things that have to do with women and migraine. And guys, don't turn off the podcast quite yet. You'll find some things that are interesting here too. But specifically, that's what we're going to talk about. Just a few little things that have popped up lately, things that have been in the news. So we're going to talk about those things. And we're going to talk about a few things related to the website as well. As a matter of fact, let's start with those. By the way, I'm going to include links to the things that I'm talking about in the post at headacheandmigrainenews.com that relates to this podcast. So if you want to head over there, you can see the links to everything I'm talking about. The first thing, and I've posted on this a couple of times, is recipes. I just want to send out a reminder that we now have a new spot where you can submit recipes that are friendly to migraine patients. I keep wanting to say migraine friendly, but we don't want to be friendly to migraine. We want to fight it. So If you make a snack, make a meal, make a dessert, make a drink, and you think it might be good to share with us, go on over and we can all benefit from it. I have some tips and things on there that will help you know what kind of recipes would be the best, but it's fairly open right now. Just go ahead and give it a try and we would love to hear from you. And I'm going to be throwing out some free cookbooks, specifically migraine cookbooks, for a few of you that submit. So I said originally, I think once we get maybe 10 recipes, I'll go ahead and send somebody a free cookbook. So go ahead and start submitting. And of course, the major benefit is that we can share these things together and get ideas of how we can cook in a way that's healthy and that's not bringing on a lot of migraine attacks. Another thing I want to mention is with 1,000 posts and many, 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 many more articles, you may want to be able to search those. And there is a search function on the blog itself that doesn't search everything. And sometimes for me, that search hasn't worked. So maybe you can tell me, leave a comment or something, and let me know if that search is working for you. But that's not maybe the best place to search. If you want to search across all the information, then I'll leave a link for that in this post. And it will search through the two related websites that we have, as well as people's comments that they've left, all that kind of information. You can do a quick search and quickly find information that you need. So hopefully that'll be a help to you. I also want to mention we have just started looking for recommendations for migraine and headache clinics and doctors in specific areas. Now these are areas that people are already looking for information for. We started out with San Francisco, and there is now a page talking about the recommended clinic in San Francisco. So you can check that out. And we are working on the Chicago area. And we'll be looking at other locations as well after that. So thanks for your input. Keep your eye on the blog and the Twitter feed and the Facebook page. And you can share your comments, suggestions, recommendations for doctors and clinics in specific areas. So hopefully that'll be a help to people. Let's take a look now at a bit of the news that's been out there, specifically about women and migraine. Just last month, a study came out from the Armed Forces Health Surveillance Center in the United States discussing not just migraine, but various conditions that women in the military have been diagnosed with. A couple interesting things. They wanted to see, for example, if Shorter length of deployment would be a help. There was a difference between women who were deployed more often, you know, number of deployments, longer breaks in between, things like that. And so basically the summary was that the best thing for most of these conditions that women could do was to shorten the length of deployment. So we're talking deployments that are maybe 9 months or less. There wasn't as much of an improvement with women that had fewer wartime deployments, for example, or a longer time between deployments. But there was an interesting note about migraine. There was a slight difference with an increasing number of deployments. So in other words, with more deployments, women were a little bit more likely to be diagnosed afterward with migraine. So there wasn't a huge difference. And of course, this is one of those things that there are various facets of the study that we would love to study more. But that was just an interesting note there about women in the military. And we have discussed the military before and some of the studies that have been done of soldiers in Iraq and various places and some of the headache and migraine conditions that they have been dealing with afterwards. And so this is definitely something we want to continue to look into, and a group of people that we would certainly want to see helped. Another study just came out this month, and this is from the USA, and it's a study of migraine and cognitive decline. Now, over the past few years, there have been several studies in this area, and of course, a lot of people wonder and feel like there may be some decline, basically in mental ability, after they've had many migraine attacks, chronic migraine, things like that. They wonder, is it affecting my ability to think, my ability to remember things, my ability to process information? We know that during a migraine attack, you can have cognitive problems. You can have problems thinking of words. You can have problems remembering things or speaking. Generally speaking, what the studies have told us so far is that there's no permanent damage in this area. So generally speaking, you're not getting dumber the more migraine attacks you have. This study confirms that once again. It was a study that was done specifically with women, and women with various different types of migraine, and they were given a number of tests that measure cognitive decline, and these tests were combined together into a score. The results were basically that your cognitive abilities are not declining any more than anybody else's if you have migraine disease of various types. This is good news, although we do know, of course, that migraine itself is quite disabling, and so obviously overall in life it can cause some significant cognitive problems, but generally speaking, you're not looking at a faster decline of cognitive ability. Just one more study I'd like to talk about, and this is something that was sent to me by Jody. Thank you very much, Jody. I will link to this, to an article that talks a little bit more in detail about this study. But I'm not actually going to get into detail. The title of the article is Why Do Women Get More Migraines? And basically this was a brain imaging study to find out what kind of differences there were between men and women. Without going into a lot of detail, there were differences. There were differences in the way that women process signals, pain signals, specific objective differences in the brain. So once again, we're seeing that migraine is not a subjective thing. It's not just the way you think about migraine, in other words, that makes it better or worse. So next time someone tells you, oh, I get headaches all the time, just deal with it, you can remind them that there are actually differences, not just in women's brains, but in men's brains as well, that are a part of the whole migraine equation. So it's not just how you're thinking, it is how you are made up genetically, and various other factors. Just one thing I wanted to say about studies like this. I am very happy and encouraged to see growth in the way that people are talking about women with migraine. a lot of the time, especially in the past, you would hear things like, why do women get more migraine attacks than men? One word, hormones. Now, that is a part of the story. And the reason why that part of the story has gained so much emphasis is simply because before puberty, boys and girls tend to be about the same when it comes to migraine. But after puberty, things change. And all of a sudden, migraine tends to be far more common in girls than in boys. It is fairly certain that hormones play a significant role in that. But there's more and more evidence that that's an oversimplification. In other words, there are differences between men and women that go far beyond hormones, and those differences are involved in the increase of migraine in women. And it's really, really important to remember that some women have taken measures to deal with hormonal issues in order to fight migraine, and sometimes this is appropriate, but it does not always solve the problem. Some women have hoped that at menopause, their migraine attacks would go away. Well, with some women, they do, and some they don't. Sometimes migraine tends to go away during pregnancy. Other times it gets worse. We can talk about generalities, but we can't talk about the way it is with every single woman. I think it's very, very important to recognize and remember and continue talking about the fact that migraine in women is not just hormones, and it's not just your imagination either. It has to do with something much more complex, a complex interaction of things that are happening in the body and just the way that men and women are made up differently from each other and the way that migraineurs are made up differently than non-migraineurs. So I appreciate studies like this. And if you want to read more about that study, you can. This is just one of many studies in the differences in various brains when it comes to migraine. The message is not that you should go out and get your brain imaged. That's probably not going to help you get better treatment at this point, but researchers are trying to understand a little more about the migraine chain reaction and what exactly is happening there. By the way, the lead researcher here was Dr. David Borsuk, and Dr. Borsuk has been doing studies with pain and brain imaging for quite some time, and actually, he has been one of the doctors that has been sponsored by the Migraine Research Foundation to do research regarding migraine. Now, we've talked about the Migraine Research Foundation a number of times at the blog, and it is the major organization that we support. And last week, I announced that we have now a special page where you can go to support the Migraine Research Foundation, specifically as a reader of the Headache and Migraine News blog. Basically, you can go online, you can very easily donate online, and you can see how much has been raised overall and get more details about the Migraine Research Foundation. As far as I know, I'm the only one who has donated so far, so I really encourage you just to stop by. If you appreciate this information, if you appreciate some of the things that you've been able to learn, then why not just stop over there? It doesn't have to be a $10,000 donation. Hey, if you've got $10,000 and you believe in fighting migraine, go on over there and give your $10,000. That would be fantastic. But if you have $5, if you have just a few dollars, you're willing to give up a coffee, if you're willing to, you know, skip eating out once a month, and you have just a few dollars to give, that would be a great start. You can stop by and give every week, a couple dollars a week. You can stop by, give $10 a month, anything you want to do. But I would really love to see just a few people stopping by there and just giving a few dollars. The Migraine Research Foundation has sponsored a whole bunch of migraine research. And this is not something that's on the fringes. This is migraine research that is at the heart of the progress that's being made today in understanding the brain, in understanding migraine disease, and in pushing towards more and better treatments for migraine. So this is something that can help you in the future, help other migraineurs in the future, and help your children and your grandchildren. So I really encourage you, before you do anything else, stop by right now, just give a little bit to the Migraine Research Foundation through that link, and it will encourage others as well to give and be a part of that. Once it gets rolling, hopefully it will keep going. So we thank again the Migraine Research Foundation for their work that they have done, and we will continue talking about that in the future. All right, thanks very much for listening. I hope this has been a help to you and that you've learned something. And we will hopefully be back with the podcast, but we'll see how things go. And of course, you can always find more information at the blog. Have a great day. Thanks for stopping by, and we'll talk later.